Thank you. That was really powerful. So thank you for leading us, all of you. It's great. We're going to come to God's Word now. If you've got a Bible with you, or you can open it, or if it's on your phone, we're going to be hearing from Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 15. If you remember right back at the start, we dipped into chapter 16. And Paul sending greetings to all the different people he knew in Rome, and all those with him sending greetings. And he commends to them Phoebe, who's the businesswoman probably, who has carried this message and will have gone around the different house churches in Rome and read out Paul's letter to the Romans to them. So we're just, the Bible Society have tried to capture that, is this, as we hear from Romans 15, verse 15.
Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. Welcome her in the Lord.
To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I have written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation.
Wow. So we're at the end of our journey through Romans. Or are we? You know, is it the end of this journey now? I remember when my wife Lorraine and I, many, many years ago, we went to Nepal to visit, support and encourage some missionaries there. I was a school teacher at the time, and I remember just circling that you have to do in the valley before you can land in the airport in Kathmandu, and my colleague had told me how short the runway was there and all that jazz, and just getting across the city to where we were going to say, whoa, what an adventure. And then little did we know, we got to see some Nepali churches, we met many different missionaries, we got into a health and literacy project for the carpet workers who would come in from the hill countries and have nothing and not be treated at all well. So they needed both the health and the literacy elements of that, and so on. And we got to mission hospitals. By the end of 3 weeks, that was amazing. We'd understood more how we could pray for those who are serving overseas. And what a journey. And we'd seen this beautiful country. And you may have thought, well, we can tick that off the list. I wonder what's next. But little did we know that it would be more of a beginning than an ending, you know. So in time, I would be called into ministry, be leading churches with strong missional links across the world. So being able to pray for missionaries, that was really helpful. Came to a church in Welwyn Garden City, which has historic links with Nepal, going back many, many years. And then teams have gone out to Nepal and so on with our mission partners. Who'd have thought even in the last year, a Nepalese chef who works in the UK would rock up at the door one quiet Friday morning when I'm the only one in the building and he just wants to explore Christianity, and we get to go through Matthew's gospel bit by bit and we encounter Christ. But maybe that's a story for another day. But just get the idea, the story, We thought the journey had finished, but there's an ongoing story in the heart of God. And that, as we come to the end of our journey in Romans, in Paul's mind, there's very much an ongoing journey. The gospel, he spent 11 chapters just saying how life-changing it really is. This gospel that's open to all. Now, how do we live that out? We've been thinking about that the last couple of weeks. If you haven't plugged into those, if you're on catch up, I'd recommend that. Chapter 12, how do we live this out in devotion to God and in devotion to one another as we serve? And then in living our new lives as dual citizens. That was a great image, wasn't it? In the wider culture and society, and also as members of the body of Christ, pursuing unity together. Now today, as we come to the last couple of chapters, we're going to reflect on Paul's passion to continue his mission. And see if we can capture that, and in the process, just think about our own dreams to share Jesus. So, let's start with his mission dreams. There are new places to go as far as Paul's concerned. You wouldn't blame him for putting his feet up. He's earned it. You know, chapter 15, verse 9, Paul reminds those in Rome about his three mission trips that we've got recorded in the scriptures. What does he say? From Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. If you stack up the stats at this point, well, as he's dictating this letter to Rome, Paul has travelled some 10,000 miles. That's staggering, isn't it? He's seen people come to know Jesus in many different backgrounds and so on. He's planted, well, at least 10 churches, many more. He's endured opposition on every side and started to write letters to the churches he's formed. Paul could settle in one place now, couldn't he? You know, he could teach and strengthen the church where he's based. But no, he's got mission dreams. There's a call of God. There are places to go and people to reach. It's interesting, the start of chapter 15, Paul is still encouraging this church in Rome to accept one another. There are Christians who are from a Jewish background, and there are Christians from a non-Jewish background or a Gentile background. They come to Christ at meeting in secret, and he says, agree together, accept one another, and so on. And he's doing this because, in the mind of God, the good news about Jesus was always going to go beyond the Jewish nation to Gentiles, and Paul has a particular commissioning to be part of that. That's his role, to take the message to the Gentiles, just as it was prophesied all the way through, and he's been doing that throughout what we call modern-day Turkey and other parts of Europe as well. Chapter 15, verse 23. He says this, he says, but now there is no more place for me to work in these regions. I like that. He can see that, three journeys. But since I have been longing for many years to visit you, that's in Rome, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. So from where he's writing, he's going to head in the opposite direction to Rome. But I love it. His dream is still mission directed to where people need to hear about Jesus. Spain's on his bucket list. Is it on yours? And it's not for the sun. And the great thing is, it means he can stop in Rome to spend time with the church en route there. I like that. And so he asks them to pray, because that's his dream, mission dream. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, he says in verse 31. And that the contribution that I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there. There was a lot of poverty for the Christians in Jerusalem at that time. So that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Mission dreams. What dreams? What a plan. That sounds kind of neat, doesn't it? Go to Jerusalem, give the offering, and then get to Rome. Joy and peace. I think we all know that sometimes in life, it doesn't always pan out and unfold as neatly as our plans, does it? You read the book of Acts, and you'll find out that it didn't go at all well in Jerusalem for Paul. Not at all. Jesus from the Asian provinces saw he was there, and they stirred up the crowds. The whole city was aroused that day. Acts 21, verse 30 records, and they had to pull him to safety. And the following day, a riot, this time in the Jewish ruling council of all places, a riot, a commotion so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by the crowd. Acts 23, verse 10. So for his safety, Paul is rescued by the commander, Roman commander, and this eventually leads, he's under arrest, and then he has to go and plead his case elsewhere, and he needs two centurions and all their soldiers to get him safely there. And eventually Paul, he's a Roman citizen, and so he goes to the top. He appeals to Caesar, and so to Caesar he's appealed, to Caesar he must go, and he's sent to Rome as a prisoner with a protective guard to wait his time to plead a case. And that wasn't a straightforward journey. I mean, you can imagine from his time landing in Jerusalem to getting to Rome eventually, it's over 2 years. And, you know, on Malta, he's shipwrecked. His ship is shipwrecked onto Malta, and then he's bitten by a poisonous snake. And so you can go on. So much for the joy and peace that he'd hoped for, to arrive in Rome, joy and peace, and be refreshed by you, and to get to see all the different churches. Time has passed. Things have been more traumatic than he could have imagined. But what you get in these verses, the dream hasn't diminished. As you read on through the scriptures, you can see it's just as hot. Luke, who was with him, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he describes the closing scenes as the curtain comes down to the book of Acts. This is Paul, who's had to rent a place in Rome, and then he's got the elite guard with him, and he's stuck there. He can't go around all the churches, but chapter 28 of Acts says this: for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Listen to this, the mission mindset. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. He's under house arrest and he preaches with all boldness and without hindrance. It's most likely that within those 2 years of house arrest, Paul wrote letters to the church in Philippi, in Ephesus and Colossae. And you can read Philippians, and he talks about the chains and yet the gospel getting out. The whole elite Roman guard come to know exactly why he's under house arrest. Some of them come to Christ, as some will in a future imprisonment that Paul has, again in Rome. The history tells us that. It made me think, have you had times where godly ideas, godly dreams didn't work out in one way or another? I think God would really want to encourage you today just to hold it before the Lord. Sometimes it is, we know what we're to do, but the time and the place and the people turn out to be different. But we can still have our dreams. We can still fruitfully be the people God's called us to be and do the things that God has shaped us to do where he places us, where he's placed you now. I couldn't help but remember a conversation I'd had with Ali from within our congregation here. Ali and her Mike and her husband, now husband Mike, they both met whilst they were training for cross-cultural mission work at All Nations College. Great little story of romance there, you can ask. But now, Ali's parents were really, really poorly. And other life events happen. And it means the ideas that they had about serving overseas weren't going to happen, at least for now. But that heart for mission and the call remains strong. And Ali's the first one to say, oh, you live in Hertfordshire. There are lots of opportunities to do jobs and things that can, you know, where we can work cross-culturally. Over many months now, she's been alongside asylum seekers locally and those connected with Christchurch. She's not the only one within the church, but she's been able to work cross-culturally, including a cross-cultural Bible study, which is great. And we've seen some of those that she and others have been alongside being baptized within our church here. You see how plans can change, but the dream, the mission dream, can be worked out. So I bring your dreams to God afresh. Ask him to shape who you are to be and what he wants you to do, that you may fulfill all that he has implanted in you. As well as the mission dreams, we get a glimpse of Paul's mission mindset in chapter 15. Verse 20, Paul says this: "It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known." It's an amazing phrase. "Where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation." Capture that mindset. We had it at the start of the video reading. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, from chapter 1, the opening. A servant of Christ Jesus and set apart for the gospel of God. That's on his mind as he opens the letter, set apart for the gospel. And he knows the power to change anyone's life that the gospel has, the good news about Jesus. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel," he says, "because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." You see, we've got both those things again. Which is why when Simon was taking us through the cloud of mystery, we had that bit in chapter 10, didn't we? Paul's urgency for those who don't know Christ. They need to hear the gospel. Verse 14 of chapter 10. "How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard?" How can they believe if they've never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? I think this thread about the good news of Jesus runs right through the whole letter. It's transforming, and it's his ambition to preach. I love that ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known. We're going to watch a video from the Bible Society of somebody with a similar mindset. When I saw the video, I couldn't help thinking about what Paul has said here. Let's look at Ed's story. Thank you.
"I'm a doctor. In truth, I never had that much interest in medicine. I had the grades, and Mum and Dad really encouraged me to go for it. I think my parents wanted me to have a good living so I could have a nice middle-class life and be able to buy nice things and have nice holidays and be secure and comfortable. I didn't want that. No, I've never wanted that. When I was growing up, our parents would read to us missionary stories. Men and women would sacrifice everything, give up all their wealth, get on a boat, travel for 6 months, travel across the seas to share the gospel. Entire communities and peoples and nations were transformed as a result. And growing up, I just thought, I want to be like those people. Those people, they haven't just found something worth dying for. They seem to have discovered the secret of living as well. Real, incredible, purposeful lives. When I was 18 years old and my gran said to me, there's this Indian missionary guy speaking at our church tonight. Do you want to come along? There he was telling all these stories of what the missionaries in India were getting up to, how they were risking their lives, traveling, facing adversity, but winning people, changing communities. And I said, hey, this sounds like the stories I had read to me growing up. I thought people like these didn't exist anymore. I thought they were locked away 100 years ago. 6 months later, I got on a plane and I travelled to India. I met with Das and we travelled around the mission fields. These people had come to know Jesus, but their whole community and social situation had been transformed as well. 5 years previously, the gospel had never come to this place. And there I was worshipping with the church there. That place has never had the gospel come to it. And now there's a church there. That's history in the making. So I said to myself, right, scrap all what my plans were because they're rubbish. I want to be a part of what's going on here. I said, look, Das, this is amazing. How can I help? So Das said, well, the tragic thing is that a lot of these people aren't getting into action because their own churches are too poor to send them. So I said, yeah, Dad, how much do these guys need? He said, well, in your terms, about £50 a month. The thought that someone isn't being sent to an unreached village to plant a church for that much money, that's madness. That's crazy. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. At that point in time, I just said, right, let's try and ramp up this level of sacrificial living, because every £10 I can save is a fifth of a missionary's monthly support in India. That's amazing. We don't think anyone should be without access to the gospel, and to have access to the gospel, they need to have access to the church. So that's our vision. People encountering Jesus, having their life transformed forever, and living forever with him. A church in every village in India. They say medicine is an amazing thing because you have the chance to save lives. But the truth is, doctors don't save any lives. All we're doing on our best days is postponing the inevitable, is putting death off. But the gospel really can save lives. So the same reason that people think medicine's amazing, they should be even more excited about the gospel, because that can save someone's life forever and ever and ever.
You can see why I thought that fitted so well. You kind of pick up some of the same thought and mindset, mission mindset of the Apostle Paul in Ed there, don't you? And I found that really challenging. How is your mission mindset? Do you have on your heart those who don't yet know Jesus? We try to work hard. This remains a really important part of our outlook as a church. We want to be in contact with those who don't yet know about Christianity or Christ. It's why we try to make our Sunday services accessible to someone who's not used to church, so that anybody can invite someone who doesn't yet know along. And we kind of give feedback to each other on those things. It's why we give opportunities for people to explore the big questions of life and explore Christianity and Christ through Alpha or Life Questions. It's why we have a fantastic welcome, or we try to, whenever people come in. I just love coming here on from Parkway, and I get, hello, great to see you, and it's just great. It's why we open our doors midweek to seniors, to young people, for those who are caring for toddlers, where Christ is not known. It's part of our mission mindset. It's why we support mission partners who are seeking to show and share the message about Jesus around the globe. I love it. It's why some people within our church have worked hard to increase their ability to communicate in BSL. I love the fact that Jay, who's signing today, got hold of those videos and made sure that they were signed. Just fantastic insight in that, where Christ is not known. It's why we've ended up spreading over two sites as a church within the same town. The added complexities of being one church over two locations is worth it if we can reach those where Christ is not known. What about you? I think God is inviting each of us to reconnect with the power of the gospel, bring ourselves back to him, and to think as well, to renew our thinking about those who don't yet know, that they might hear and taste for themselves. Mission dreams. A mission mindset and mission people working to the glory of God. I mentioned the start of our journey in chapter 16 and the diverse different people that Paul already knew in Rome and was greeting, People, some were had Roman names, Latin names, Greek names, and so on. There were Jewish Christians, Gentile Christians. They were rich, they were poor, there were slaves, there were slave owners. And there were people with high status in society and those with little or no. And they gathered together in these secret church meetings in homes and workplaces. And all were sharing as a mission people. That's what he's writing to them, as a mission people. He's reminding them through this letter that God calls each of us. He calls each of us, and we can be reconciled to God. We can be reconciled to one another in Jesus, forgiven, right with God, part of his family. Together, we share a glorious hope. So we work at unity and seek to accept one another in Christ. And hence Paul's prayer for them in chapter 15, verse 13. The carriers of hope, these mission people, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's his prayer for them, this mission people and carriers of hope. The gospel calls us in, doesn't it? It calls us in and gives us hope. We find hope. We want it to overflow out to others, because the gospel sends us out too, makes us look outwards. We're mission people. Now, how is that looking in my life right now? That's what I'm working on. How is that working in your life right now? Is there somebody you're thinking you could invite to the ladies' Christmas craft evening? Great time, just chatter away. All sorts of things come into a conversation over craft making. There was a telling phrase in the bit that we heard read out. Verses 18 and 19. People have received Christ through Paul's message. And he says, by what I've said and what I've done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Words and deeds. The things that we say, the things that we do, make a massive difference. And in addition to that, the power of the Spirit of God. And sometimes, you know, you say to someone, oh, would you like me to pray for you for that? And a miracle happens. You know, there are signs and wonders to the amazing love and grace of God. Some of us might be more confident with talking about our faith, sharing our story. Others are good at showing it through practical acts of kindness and mercy, or through supernatural gifts as God, Holy Spirit works through us. But I think all of us want to grow in each of those words, deeds, and God's power at work in us, don't we? How do you do that? Andrew Ollerton said this. He's the guy who wrote the book that's inspired us in tackling the whole of Romans. And so it's good to give him credit. And he talks about, he gave us the image of the mountain that's been really helpful to me anyway. Talks about a simple prayer that he prays each day. And it goes like this. Lord, please show me today who I can bless in Jesus' name. Lord, please show me today who I can bless in Jesus' name. You don't even have to leave your house sometimes. That can be a simple WhatsApp message. But it opens our eyes. He says for him, it opens his eyes to see the people around him and the opportunities to share kindness and generosity. Sometimes it'll open a door for a conversation. And you share truth at just the right time. So is that a simple prayer that you could... I know we haven't fully got into getting ready for Christmas yet. That's next Sunday. We start to ramp up our preparations with the beginning of Advent. But why not start to pray that through this week? Lord, please show me today who I can bless in Jesus' name. Mission dreams, a mission mindset to reach people who've not heard about Jesus, to creatively take the unchanging message to an ever-changing world. What it's all about ultimately It's allowing the glory of God to come out in each life that's changed. And here we are. The final credits are about to roll on the book of Romans. Paul underlines what it's all about for their ongoing journey. People who are redeemed by Jesus, given a whole fresh start in life, devoted to God, to one another, and so on, dual citizens together, living for the glory of God. That's how he finishes. You can read the last few verses, all of them, and they pick up on this. Now, to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, to him, to the only wise God, be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. What a good way to finish this journey, which hasn't finished today, because there are ongoing dimensions. And that includes you. God's goal for each of us here is that each of us know we are redeemed. We can be restored fully. And we are to live for God's glory. For all of us. Now you might be like, well, that's right for them down this row, but not for me, because I know this about me. But don't count yourself out. There is no wrong bigger than God's love. The love of God never gives up as well. If he's been knocking on your door, he's still knocking on it today. And it's stronger than any shame you could ever feel. It's a love that keeps its promises and will bring you through. And when it does, you'll be living for God's glory. So my invitation to you is this. If you've never submitted your life to Christ, or if you've been around but gone off stray, or you've lost that mission mindset and you just want to come back to him, I've been focused on everything else but this. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you. Will you take me as I come? And he says, yes, of course, because Christ died for you. You can do that. We've got a prayer ministry team that will be available in a moment, and they would love to pray with you, or you can chat to myself or others who've been at the front. And we just sit down and pray with you for the first time or a coming back. And fuel those mission thoughts and ideas and dreams. And ask God to show you how and where and when and who. The musicians are going to come up and help us to respond. And we'll sing about God's love. And we'll be singing about the fact that actually the whole purpose of it is that it's all glory to God who changes us. And maybe even as we do this, as we sing this song and use it, you can be saying, yeah, Lord, I come back to you. That's an amazing love. And make that your prayer. And we want him to fill us and send us out from here. So we're going to pray for that. Let me just say a final prayer as we finish the sermon. May the God of hope fill me, fill you with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that together we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand in his presence, shall we, if you're able to stand. Let's stand and that's how great his love is. You, redeemed, restored, refilled, and sent out to the glory of God. Let's